Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. Jesse, you couldn't join us yesterday because you were on a very important TSSAA call regarding some postseason deals and more. Good morning. Give us a recap of what happened yesterday.
There was a lot of changes yesterday, and maybe some to be expected, some unexpected, but really the long and the short of it is the state golf championships, which have been in Manchester, Tennessee, at a course called Willowbrook, are now moving to Sevierville Golf Club. And it's the first time in more than 75 years that the state golf championships are going to be in the eastern time zone of this state. And so that's a big move for the state of Tennessee. And I'm really excited for Sevierville Golf Club and the people there and the tourism dollars that's going to bring in. And it's really going to make that state golf championships, which had been out in the middle of nowhere, with no real, like, entertainment things to do, like anything to make that trip special to the state tournament, they're going to have that now. And at championship golf courses in Sevierville, at the Sevierville Golf Club. So that's exciting. I think one of the things that was unexpected yesterday was the move of the girls' state soccer championships from Murfreesboro to Chattanooga. Now, Chattanooga hosted from, I think, 1997 to 2012, the girls' soccer championships, and then it's been in Murfreesboro at the Richard Siegel Soccer Complex there in North Murfreesboro for a number of years, 8 years, I think. That's where they do the soccer for spring fling. It's a really big complex. They're transitioning to synthetic turf fields because weather is always an issue, and the difference in between the bids of Murfreesboro and Chattanooga was really minimal. And Chattanooga is going to be hosting it at various sites, whereas Maryville had one kind of host site at a complex. And so it was a unanimous vote to move it to Chattanooga, which I didn't get. There wasn't a lot of debate about it, so I don't know if this is something that had been going along behind closed doors or there had been a growing, overwhelming support to move it to Chattanooga again. But it was a surprise yesterday to see that. And then last part of the call really was Bernard Childress, the executive director of the TSSAA, getting on and talking with the Board of Control and letting them know there is a real possibility that the state basketball championships in late February, early March, mid-March are likely going to have to be held at high school basketball gymnasiums in the Murfreesboro area just because of the COVID-19 restrictions in place. And the protocols in place at MTSU, at Lipscomb University, which are the two host sites for Division II and Division I basketball. So there was a lot to process yesterday from that meeting.
Those are the postseason moves are interesting. First of all, not a paid endorsement, but shout out to Sevierville Golf Club because that'll be a great place to host those things. Right. I would join you in being surprised with the soccer, particularly with the turf fields. Because I broadcast the Division II championships year before last, and they had to kind of move the schedule because the weather had caused the fields to be torn up. But if they were going to turf, that is odd because that is a really solid place to have it. But the basketball tournament's what stuck out most to me. You understand not having turnover with locker rooms and things like that. I hope for those kids it doesn't make it feel less special when it's time to play for a state championship.
And there were some reports from the Tennessean yesterday right after that TSSAA meeting where I think MTSU officials kind of raised their hands and went, whoa, 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 you know, give us a little bit more time. What happened was the TSSAA gave them a deadline, both universities say, hey, you know, we can't cobble this together last minute. We need to know with some time to plan if you're going to be able to host these or not. And MTSU and Lipscomb really couldn't give them a definitive answer by that deadline. And so the TSSAA has to be proactive about this. They don't want another cancellation of the state tournaments like happened a year ago. So they have some host sites there in Rutherford County at various high schools, much like they did for the state volleyball tournament, where it's a kind of a contingency plan. So if anything, yesterday's meeting just pushed to the forefront those discussions between the TSSAA and MTSU and Lipscomb University to try to find a way to keep that basketball tournament in a marquee site, a big-time arena. But, with state volleyball, they held it at various high schools around Murfreesboro and even the championship matches at high schools. And so I think TSSAA feels comfortable with those type of protocols and what to do in that situation.
Talking with Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps, fivestarpreps.com. My question is, does any of these changes, tweaks that you're talking about right now, is there a chance it influences who wins any of these games? Is there any distinct advantage to any group or area with all? Because I'm not hearing that. Like it still sounds like the best team is going to win. There's not going to be anything that keeps that from changing.
Now, I think the only – it's not really an added influence. It's an influence whether it's – like the state basketball tournaments. When they're in Murfreesboro, if a mid-state team is there, obviously they're going to have a crowd advantage. But this year with limited crowds, you don't get that as much. You don't get the giant student sections at the game. So I think that's going to be kind of a neutralizer whether they host those at high school gyms or if they move it back to MTSU and Lipscomb. I don't think you'll see that as much being a problem because that's been a big influencer in games sometimes when a program from Memphis or Knoxville or Upper East Tennessee comes down and it's not as easy for their teams and kids to travel. And then they take on a Murfreesboro area school who basically lets the whole school out that day to come to the game. And it's a noticeable noise difference and can sometimes intimidate a team that maybe is going to the state tournament for the first time. So that'll be something that's different this year. There's going to still be crowd restrictions in place, whether it's at the Murphy Center at MTSU or high schools.
Jesse, you unveiled your underclassmen of the year, underclassmen teams. It's that football award season time. Walk us through some of the highlights from your 2020 underclassmen football team, and no surprise here, an Alcoa player being your underclassman of the year.
Yeah, Aaron Davis is our underclassman defensive player of the year, and he's a young man we got to know a little bit during the summer 2 years ago when he played in the Tennessee-Kentucky Futures All-Star game at Austin Peay, and he always kind of looked out for those kids that had the Alcoa helmets on or the Maryville helmets on, and so we knew about Aaron Davis coming into high school and what type of player he was going to be. And he participated and played as a freshman. And this past year as a sophomore led that team in tackles. And to lead Alcoa in tackles as a sophomore, you got to be pretty special. And so he was our underclassman defensive player of the year. And our underclassman offensive player of the year comes from Cards High School. Deshaun Bishop, our running back, who only got to play in, I think, 9 games this year, but still had over 1,700 yards rushing. And what a fantastic talent he is and is going to be. And I want to put this disclaimer out. These underclassmen awards and underclassmen team, I think there's a little bit of confusion just because of how I define the word underclassmen as opposed to others. I view an underclassman as a 9th and 10th grader. And there are some people like, why isn't this player on there? Why isn't this player on there? Well, that player you're talking about is a junior. I feel like, and I even looked it up, kind of that's nerdy, but there are some dictionaries that defined upperclassmen as junior, senior, and underclassmen as 9th and 10th grader. And there's some people who believe an underclassman is anything but a senior. So we wanted to do something to recognize the 9th and 10th graders who are playing, because it is a growing trend in this area and around the state of kids coming into high school and not only playing some as a freshman, but playing a lot as a freshman and making big-time contributions as a sophomore. And so it was just a good way to recognize those two classes.
It's so much more impressive to be a freshman or a sophomore playing high school varsity football than it is to be a freshman or sophomore in college or a rookie or second-year guy in the NFL. Like that 9th and 10th grade list, if you're already making noise and that's all the older you are, you are probably a college football player at some level.
It used to be that you came to high school in your 9th grade year, you're pretty much going to be playing 9th grade football or freshman football, maybe JV or whatever. and then maybe midway through your sophomore year, you got a little bit of playing time, and then you try to have that big breakout year, your junior year. That's not the case anymore. Kids are coming into high school more physically developed, better football IQ, specialized training. And let's be honest, the numbers are down a little bit in football, and so there's opportunities for kids to come in and play right away. And they're doing that and making big-time impact. I mean, it's crazy the numbers that these freshmen and sophomores are putting up now.
Jesse, what do you guys have coming up this weekend, some of the big matchups around the area in basketball, and fun stuff coming to 5starpreps.com as well?
Yeah, we're still got our all 5-star preps football teams that we're going to be releasing in the next handful of days or so. I'm kind of finishing that up, put the final touches on that, and so keep an eye out for that, our players of the year and all the superlatives that come along with that. Friday, tonight we're going to be covering Pigeon Forge and Northview Academy, a really good rivalry game there. We also got Hardin Valley Academy. They have a new coach in Shane Wells, who a lot of people know from his time at CAK and down in Loudoun County, and so we'll be checking in with him. We got some coverage from last night's rivalry games between Maryville and Alcoa and Halls and Powell up on the site today, and still got some videos. And we actually went down to Pigeon Forge last night and sent Danny Parker down there to take a lot of pictures of high school wrestling. And wrestling doesn't get the recognition it deserves in this area, and so we're trying to branch out and provide a spotlight for those programs down there. And Pigeon Forge has one of the best wrestling programs in the state. And so that's up on the site right now. It's a free view. You can go check out all those photos from Pigeon Forge, Alcoa, Hardin Valley, Farragut, Morristown East up on the site right now.
Jesse, we always appreciate you joining us each week. We'll look forward to talking to you again back on schedule next Thursday.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate it.